On today's Pardon My Take, we have an awesome interview with former Yankee first baseman Mark Teixeira. We sat with him in Miami. We talked about everything, including a little, peel back the onion of Mark Teixeira, some weird stuff he does. You will not believe that. We also have our favorite special producer, All Business Pete, in studio to do Mount Rushmore of things, annoying things people do in the office. And Billy is back, so we have Higher Education with Billy. Before we get all of this going, I wanted to talk to you guys about the most electrifying combination drink there is this summer. It is the new Dunkin' Energy Punch, powered by Monster Energy. It's a combination of Monster Energy and delicious Dunkin' Blue Raspberry or Strawberry flavors. Only at Dunkin' Donuts. I have tried both. I am a blue raspberry guy. It is delicious. It gets you going in the morning. It feels great. Dunkin' Energy Punch. America runs on Dunkin'. Only at Dunkin' Donuts, like I said. Price and participation may vary. A limited time offer. We also did the Barstool Combine. Go check that out at Barstool Sports. It was sponsored by Dunkin'. Viva la Dunkin'. And we all got to try the great new Dunkin' Energy Punch. So go do that and crush your day with new Dunkin' Energy Punch, powered by Monster Energy. Only at Dunkin' Donuts. Turn it up with fun, refreshing flavors like strawberry or blue raspberry. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Send us your pictures. Tweet us your pictures. Viva la Dunkin' is the hashtag. Send us your pictures of your new Dunkin' Energy Punch. All right, let's get to the show and let's go. Boy!
And then a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing. And then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to
Electric Avenue.
And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to
Electric Avenue.
My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Friday, July 14th, and it is press conference season.
Well, I was going to say, this is the most electrifying sports day of the year. Mm-hmm. It's the Thursday after the ESPY Awards. Love it.
But it is.
Yes.
Because McGregor and Mayweather have saved the summer, mm-hmm. and they are on a four-part tour of shit-talking, and it is must-watch television.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So yesterday, McGregor said, "You can't even fucking read."
Yeah.
Which was great.
Always like the illiterate jokes.
Yeah, I love those. I have kind of a stay woke, actually, on Mayweather. Mm-hmm. I think, you know how people say, like, Stevie Wonder isn't actually blind?
Yeah.
I think Mayweather isn't actually illiterate, but he likes to play it up because that way he has an excuse when he doesn't fill his taxes out correctly.
Ooh, I actually disagree, because if you listen to Mayweather in the press conference, all he can say is hard work over and over. Hard work. So he's like, remember Tickle Me Elmo? You just press it. Hard work.
You pull the
hard
string?
Work. Hard work.
Hard work.
Hard work. Either way, it is awesome to watch. I do think that they like each other, which kind of takes a little out of it. It's almost like watching wrestling. You have to suspend disbelief. Is that the saying?
Yeah, I think they got into it actually hating each other, but then once they realized that they were the same person, they're like, okay, I kind of respect this guy.
Right.
I respect what an asshole he is.
The one thing that Mayweather did, and he does well, is he does know how to cut a guy to the core about money. When he went up to Dana White and was like, yo, we're rich guys, we're too big, we don't have to wear suits because we're so rich,
mm-hmm.
that bothered Conor McGregor, because it's the truth. Conor McGregor is the best shit talker in the game. He is dominating these press conferences, but at the end of mm-hmm. the day, Mayweather is true rich. McGregor is like, he's getting his way to being true rich, but he's not there yet.
He's still at the point where he needs to remind people that he's rich.
Right.
So
wear a suit.
You know
how
they always say,
look how rich I am.
Yeah. So I'm actually like a level above these guys. They always say, like, fake it till you make it. I'm already at, I don't give a fuck money in my appearance.
Right.
I dress like such a slob
right.
that they're like, oh, maybe that guy's actually a billionaire many times over.
No one thinks
I'm either
that.
Like really, really poor, or maybe I'm the richest person on earth. So you got to keep them guessing like that.
And McGregor, here's the only problem with McGregor. If he does go and get his ass kicked, which I think a lot of people probably lean that way, as definitely Vegas leans that way, all of these press conference moments are going to be played on loop in back in his face over and over. I guess he won't care because he's making so much money, mm-hmm. but This is definitely a situation where he's winning the press conference and will most likely lose the fight.
So what happens if they step into the ring and like half the first round goes by and McGregor's just getting his ass kicked, right? What if he just starts kicking and grabs Mayweather, throws him to the ground, just beats the shit out of him? Obviously, he loses the fight. Mm-hmm. It's a DQ, but he would beat the shit out of Mayweather. He'd be bleeding everywhere, and he'd still get paid, right?
Yeah.
What's to stop him from doing that?
That's true. It's the Mike Tyson bite your ear.
That's what I would do if I were him. That way, you don't have to suffer an embarrassing loss, and you get paid a shitload of money.
I am officially, though, going to bet on McGregor, even though I know it's stupid.
Yeah,
it's just the press conferences get me going. It's too much.
This is the least surprising thing of all time.
Yeah, it's too much.
You're gonna bet on the guy that is hilarious and makes you laugh that you probably shouldn't bet
on. Correct.
Yeah, no doubt.
And also we can get, here's the thing. There might be a chance that we're going to this fight in Vegas to be Team McGregor, and for some way he pulls off an unbelievable upset. That will be the craziest night ever.
Right. If you're Team Mayweather and you win this fight, then are you really going to celebrate afterwards?
No, you just have to pay the taxes.
It's like, oh, hey, I just won like 10% of what I put at stake for the
bet. Right.
I saw something online that said the number of tickets coming in on McGregor were like 100 times more.
That's the Irish. Drunk Irish.
Drunk Irish. So yeah. Paddy Power. That's what they use, right?
Yeah. EU Power or something
that. Paddy Power dot Latvia.
We also have a big trade, and I know you don't like talk baseball, but it is a big trade.
This is huge. So let me set the table for this.
Okay.
As a huge baseball guy, we've got two teams in the same regional city trading prospects to each other.
Nope.
All right,
well,
let's get
one's
it going.
Not trading prospects. So
let's get it going.
Quintana is actually a pitcher, and he's been a pitcher for a very long time.
Okay.
So that's not true. So the White Sox and Cubs actually pulled off a trade, and I actually like it for both sides, which is blasphemous on Twitter these days.
Well,
that's my favorite part about trades. You need to immediately say, this is the team that won, this is the team that lost, and it can't be that, oh, maybe the Cubs got exactly what they needed, a cost-controlled arm, and the White Sox keep building.
Classic middleman Dan.
I mean, that's so I don't know what to say.
You send, how many guys are the Cubs sending out?
Four, but it's really two.
So this is classic. You're sending four guys from North Chicago to South Chicago. It's gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
You're gentrifying the White Sox. I hope you feel proud of yourself.
So I actually like the trade. I like the trade a lot. I think the Cubs now have a real rotation. I know you don't want to actually talk real sports here, but people probably want to hear what I had to say about the trade.
Okay. So you're excited because it kind of fills out. You have too many hitters in Chicago, right? That's
right.
What it kind of boils down to.
And here's the thing: the people fall in love with prospects. Eloy is—they call him the natural. He actually has broken lights hitting home runs, but he's 19 years old. So you're getting the sure thing right now to keep your window open. Talking about windows, for a guy who will probably be really good, but probably has nowhere to play.
Okay. Well, that's it. I wish you had started with the fact that you traded a guy that hit a light out, because I'm like a dog, and that's a laser pointer. That's something I can focus on.
Yes. And then everyone just picks apart each side of the trade. Well, oh yeah, Quintana had a bad like 10 starts this year, and oh yeah, the other pitcher in the trade, he doesn't have a third pitch, and they go back and forth. The one thing that's going to end up with this trade is it is a decade worth of trash talking, however it ends up. So it's either going to be every time that Eloy if he wins an MVP, if it's a home run, that's trash talking. Every time Quintana pitches well, that's trash talking.
So we're talking Cubs window. What is the Cubs window? Because right now the window's, you're acting
it's
like
open.
The window's open right now, but simultaneously you've got the panic button down. So
no, I took the
window.
The
window and the panic button are across the room from each other.
No.
You can't have both.
No, the panic button, I took my hand off the panic button, threw it out the very wide open window.
Okay.
So there we are.
You ripped the panic button off the opposite wall and threw it out. Okay.
Yes. All right. So let's do, we have our Mount Rushmore today. Before we get to that, I want to talk to you guys quickly about FrameBridge. FrameBridge.com is the easiest way to custom frame your favorite art and photos without ever leaving your house. With their simple online ordering process, you can order a fully customized piece in minutes. Here's how it works. Go to FrameBridge.com, upload your photo from your computer or directly from your Instagram feed, or if your physical item, you'll provide secure prepaid packaging so you can mail it for free. Preview your photo online in any frame style, choose your favorite, or get free help from their talented designers, and voila, you have a framed picture. Nothing looks better than frame. Be an adult, okay? Don't be the kid who's got the posters. Be an adult. Get your stuff framed. Plus, listeners will get 15% off their first order at FrameBridge.com when they use the code PMT. So get started framing your photos or art today. Go to FrameBridge.com and use promo code PMT. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to FrameBridge.com, promo code PMT, FrameBridge.com, promo code PMT. PMT. All right, Mount Rushmore. So as we said last episode, Hank had a very close friend pass away, so he's going to be out for a couple episodes. We do have J.J. Watt coming Monday and Wednesday, and then we're going to do Takeys on Fridays. He'll be back for that. So in his place, we have an old friend who I think has only made one or two appearances on Pardon My Take. It is All Business Pete. He is the tech guy at Barstool. He's the guy who every time our internet sucks, he's the reason for it. Every time the sound isn't good, he is the reason for it. Every time we aren't allowed to horseplay in the office, he is the reason for
it. He's actually a narc. He sends horseplay reports to our boss to try to get us in trouble every week. So Pete, it's nice to have you back on, but not really. I'm just saying that to be polite.
Hello.
What's up, Pete? Are you going to be a shy guy this time?
I feel like I always am.
Okay. All right. So we're going to do the Mount Rushmore. We actually have a bonus Mount Rushmore before we start that we wanted to spring on you here. Are you ready for it?
I must be.
All right. So Pete is actually everyone should congratulate Pete online. What's your Twitter handle?
All Business Pete.
Okay. All Business Pete. Pete just had his second child. So he's a two-time confirmed sex haver. Mm-hmm. And we figured because you now have two children, let's do the Mount Rushmore. PFT and I have dogs. So we'll do the Mount Rushmore of annoying things about owning a dog or having a child. So I'll start.
Okay.
Sometimes you can relate to this, Pete. You have two kids. Sometimes I'll be at the bar for like 8 or 9 hours and I'll be like, shit, I got to go home and walk my dog so that she can go to the bathroom.
That's a pretty good one. One of my least favorite things about having a child or a dog is when the dog acts up and you have to take it to, you have to like basically send it to school and it's like $149 to take care of all that.
Yeah.
But when, you know, you get done, you have a degree, which is nice, but, that's a lot of money to sink into education.
Yep. Pete, you can relate. You have two kids.
Right. But I don't have a dog. And I think maybe that's where.
No, it's the same thing. Everyone says like, for example, a dog and a kid, same thing.
Yeah. For example, like sometimes, my dog, he sleeps in really, really late and I have to like wake him up to take him outside to use the restroom. And so I don't even get up that early.
Oh yeah. So
he
that
lets
same
me sleep
thing,
in too much.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll walk Stella for like an hour on a Saturday and then she'll sleep for like 12 hours straight. And it's like, come on, I wanted to play with you. What the hell? Like then I can go do whatever I want. It's so annoying. So
what
can
do you
relate?
Think, like to kids or dogs?
No, yeah, so for me, and again, I don't have a dog, but I do have two kids, so I haven't been to a bar in 3 years. I haven't watched ESPN in like 5 years. I don't really know what's going on at all in sports. My kids don't sleep for 12 hours. I do try to take the older one on a walk for an hour to tire her out.
Okay.
So maybe that's
where
we see eye to eye. So at night,
does it work? Does she just sleep for the rest of the day?
It's like if I can get a good hour walk in at 7 o'clock at night, maybe we can push her waking up to like 4 in the morning instead of 2 in the morning.
I buy my dog toys sometimes and he gets really, really into one particular toy. And then like even if I were to buy him a toy like 6 months later, he just wants that old one. So he just kind of sticks with his toys for years and years.
Yeah.
And do your toys like make a lot of noise? Like a lot of bells and whistles and weird songs?
There's one that's squeaky, but he actually ate the squeaky thing out of it after a couple months, and so it's just been like, it's just been quiet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just generous. So you can
watch. It's almost too quiet is the thing. Like it's spooky.
You can actually hear what's on the television at that point without the chimes.
Here's one that we can relate to. Our dogs and your children love you unconditionally, and they definitely won't grow up to be teenagers that hate your guts.
So here's one where I think I may actually win. Your dogs are going to die while
motherfucker. You don't talk about dead dogs on this podcast.
I do believe that I'm going to die before my kids. I won't have to live with that. But for both of you, you're going to go to your dog's
funerals. That's fucked up.
Leroy's old.
Yeah.
Why did
you do that?
Leroy's
Stella's
9 years old.
Got a gray beard now. She's six.
Six?
6'9".
Do you think
nice dogs.
Closer to...
Very nice dogs.
All right, so the real Mount Rushmore we're doing, because you are All Business Pete, and you're a narc, and you basically tell people they can't have fun in an office.
It's basically All Business Pete. If you imagine the most generic office guy in the history of the world, that's Pete. You're looking at Pete right now.
He's the guy who stands by the water cooler. He's like, you know, he probably hasn't had his dick hard in like 5 years.
I've had sex twice
in the last 4 years.
I firmly believe that at one point in your life, you were a cell phone, like, belt clip guy.
I was a huge belt clip guy.
Obviously. Were you ever wear a visor? You feel like a visor guy?
No.
Okay.
I don't do hats because my hair is too nice.
Oh. Hmm. So we're complimenting ourselves now.
I thought we were just talking about visors.
Okay. So with Pete, with knowing what Pete is brings to the table as a narc, we're going to do the Mount Rushmore of annoying people at your office. And we're not talking about the Barstool office. We're talking about every office in America. And to prove that, we brought in Billy Football, who's also going to give his Mount Rushmore, the 18-year-old who's been working for 2 weeks. He's going to also give us the Mount Rushmore of annoying people in an office. So, Billy, do you want to go first? Talking to the mic,
sure,
Billy.
Sure, sure.
All right, here we go.
Let me pretense this, but I've only worked in the Barstool.
Yeah, I already did that.
Yeah, we just pretensed it for you.
I literally just said
we
that.
We pretensed the shit out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I pretensed you.
Some of these might not be relatable.
Talking to the mic.
The one dude who tries to start beef with you just because of the podcast you interned for.
Okay, Tex. So we're talking about Tex.
Yeah, okay. Very relatable.
That one guy who shoves his politics in everyone's face.
Ooh, who's yeah. that? Who's not sticking to sports?
Oh, there's
in name names in here?
In Barstool.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
We stick to sports here.
We're talking about every office.
Yeah. Every. That's pretty.
But you know what? That's actually. I think that's pretty relatable across. There's always a couple guys that have like the back of their car covered in bumper stickers.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they don't interject their politics in, into everything, you know exactly where they stand on everything.
Yes. Well, here it's laptops.
Oh,
yeah.
The new, new bumper sticker.
Yeah, they're the new car.
Okay, so you sound like a triggered snowflake. What's your number three?
That fat guy that eats all the snacks in the snack room.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're avoiding eye contact with me now.
Well, Billy's actually just... that was a shot fired at 90% of the office.
Yeah. Yeah. The snack day at Barstool gets a little out of hand because we get the best snacks and they are gone. I'm convinced people just put them in their backpacks.
People are hoarding. I mean, within 2 hours, people
are hoarding
them.
I've seen Nate do that. He just takes the candy and just puts it right in his backpack and takes it home. Next, fourth.
Okay, so that one pretty attractive intern girl, maybe a former Barstool smoke, who friend zones all the other boy interns but gets them to do all their errands for her. So like
that sounds like slavery.
Yeah, okay. She ends up this. She has a bunch of slaves.
So she's using your dick against you.
No, not me. I'm not involved.
Okay.
But, no, Billy no, this the boy, is about me, but she just she friend zones everyone. It really makes me mad.
She won't put out.
Yeah.
No, that one
like
chick that won't put out of your office.
No, but
we get it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Not exactly.
Well, basically what happened was Billy got friend zoned by one person for the first time in his life.
Yeah.
And now he's just really upset because he just found out that the friend zone sucks.
Yeah.
I don't talk to girls.
Okay. Billy the boy wonder intern. All right. That was great, Billy. Let's get to the real Mount Rushmore now. Thank you, Billy. You did a great job.
Thanks.
Pete, do you want to start?
I think Billy started, but I can continue.
Okay.
Well,
go
that
ahead,
was
Pete.
That was the warm up.
Go ahead.
Okay. First is people who complain about the internet being down.
Mm.
Okay.
Even though you fixed it like six times already.
This does happen at every office in America.
Yep.
So it happens here, but it happens in every office in America because the tech guys are always selfish nerds that don't care about anyone else. So their internet always works and everyone else's always breaks.
You know what? In today's modern office, an internet outage is the modern equivalent of the fire alarm that used to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you never get like fire drills anymore inside of an office.
You don't pay attention to them.
But when the internet goes down, you're like, oh, can't work.
Yep.
I got to take the next 30 minutes off, even after the internet comes on 5 minutes later.
Yeah. Sometimes Twitter's just down, and I blame it on Pete.
Yeah. What always concerns me is when the din of the office like picks up,
mm-hmm.
because everyone's just head down like working, and then as soon as you hear too much noise, it's very concerning.
That's like
that's like
Occam's bell, right? Or Schrodinger's bell.
Yes.
Where the dog salivates.
The cat salivates.
Yeah. If I hear people having too much fun here,
you just leave.
I feel like
you run out.
Broken.
Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah.
Yep. Schrodinger's cats. Pavlov's dogs.
Mm-hmm. Schrodinger's. That's like your dogs.
Okay.
And,
good one, Pete.
And the second one, the next one is chinchillas that shit in your offices.
Okay, so this is very relatable.
Does that not happen everywhere?
Nope. That doesn't happen everywhere
because some offices have pet chinchillas that live in them. And and then they shit everywhere.
And then you have to clean it up.
You find somebody to clean it up.
What do you think about the frogs that we own?
I'm surprised they're still alive.
They're very
but
much
I
alive.
I think that they didn't like Larry.
No, they didn't.
No.
In fact, they thrive.
So I was going to say, because when I'd look after them, and they look like they hated life. But as soon as Larry was gone... just
they've
sprung,
grown
sprung
it's
right
swampy
back to
life. Yeah.
In retrospect,
they're living well.
It's pretty obvious that the frogs killed Larry.
Yeah,
both
was,
of them.
They probably shouldn't have commingled species.
Yeah, they just caught him in the shower one day and just had a sock party on him.
All right, next.
And so the next one is people literally throwing basketballs and footballs and everything around your seven-figure office.
Horseplay.
Yeah.
You're not a big horseplay guy.
I do like, though, we did get some beach balls and which are the best ones to grab and rip apart, like the guys in the outfield.
Oh, yeah.
At baseball games.
You're the ump. And, you are a narc. You're such a fucking narc.
The look, I mean, when I walk by and people and intercept a pass, and like YP will be like, why did you throw that? You saw him walking up. And then and just walk away.
So you enjoy being the mall cop.
It's I enjoy not having like all of our cameras and everything break.
Here's what you need to do. You got to start carrying around just like a sharp little knife so you can catch these balls and then immediately just stab them.
Pop them.
And then hand them right back to them. Here you go.
I would like, I mean, I would like to. That's the beach balls. You can just tear them apart.
You enjoy non-enjoyment.
I enjoy others' non-enjoyment.
You're like making life
miserable.
But
that's what you enjoy. So you're getting off on other people losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you one of those guys that likes
snuff,
to see,
snuff porn?
Yeah. Do you like to be, are you dominant? Do you have like lips at home?
You're top.
I am a top. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Sick.
Okay, number four.
That's how you make babies. That's science.
Sperm run downhill.
Missionary guy. I like it.
Yeah. My last
old school.
Last one was going to be, I mean, you can do different stuff while you're on top.
Well, the chick
old school, new school.
No, it's true. Yeah. Billy, this will be helpful for you going to college. Mm-hmm. Chicks can't get pregnant on top.
Yeah.
Because of gravity.
Yep.
Exactly.
Just pours right down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little guys on chicks bonus. Number four.
Number four was going to be a joke about people eating all the snacks in about 20 minutes. But I was going to blame it on the interns because we have a horde of interns.
Yeah, so what do you think? You're not a big fan of the interns? You got two sitting right next to you.
I think we have like a lot of them.
Yeah,
and it's very tough to work. They broke one of my cameras the other day.
doing what?
They mashed one of the cable inputs in the wall. And it's just shit like that.
So
you
allowed an intern to do something for you. It was your fault.
No, they weren't doing anything for me. You. They didn't ask me if they could set it up. They just went ahead, did it, and broke.
Sounds like
shit.
Bad management on your part, Pete.
Yeah,
that was
Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
We have more Mount Rushmores?
Yeah, yes. We got two more.
But it's only four, and we've already done eight.
Nope. But we're doing
that's
it. You don't understand how Mount Rushmore works.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Because what happens is, since we're doing four, then somebody gets to pick which one is the best, and which is the real Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the show, Pete. My first one is the fish microwave guy.
Yeah.
The guy that microwaves his seafood for lunch.
Yeah, or tuna, just in general.
Yeah.
Tuna opening up. I had that as well. It's the gross food people.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Even like some standard normal food can be gross in an office context.
Yes. Any kind of leftovers when you microwave them, they gives it a nice stench to the office. Not a big fan.
Just anything with like fennel in it too.
Yeah.
Weird spices. Just keep it basic at work. You got your lunch meats, your cheeses, your breads. Don't try to reinvent the wheel.
You know what? I'll give Pete credit for that. I'm going to give him credit for one thing. His wife makes him the same ham and cheese sandwich every day, and he eats it like a poor sap that he is.
Pete is
just defeated with life, and it's always makes me laugh. But at least it doesn't smell.
Pete is literally Jim Halpert from The Office. He's got his ham sandwich.
Got
your two kids. All right, my next one is
Jim seemed happy.
Yeah. Well, I was always looking at the camera like, I'm Jim.
He didn't get friend zoned, so.
Well, he did for a little bit.
Yeah. If you don't count the first 8 years of The Office,
and
Jim
also,
was swimming in Pam.
And everyone like agrees that The Office was great until he got out of the friend zone. It sucked after. So you basically, you're a worse Jim Halpert.
I have two kids. I can't watch the reruns.
Okay.
My next one is the fantasy
team. Stop talking about your fucking kids.
The fantasy team updater.
Okay, that's a big one. Yep.
During football season, especially the guy that comes in breathlessly to your office every morning and goes, oh, man, so you see you picked up on the waiver wire last night?
Yes,
you're like, no, I didn't because I was asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning because I had work this morning, but you were awake.
Offices that make everyone get in a fantasy league together are the worst.
And we talked about this last year, I think, but the guy that says shit the bed when it comes to his fantasy players. Oh, man, I can't believe Matt Castle shit the bed for me last week.
That is, okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
My next one is going to be the perfume lady.
Yep.
So the person who wears, our guy, if he's wearing too much cologne, just the smelly person. I'm actually going to tie that in with just overall smells in general. The guy that takes his shoes off and just kind of lets his dog's air out.
Yes.
You're a big fan of doing that on airplanes, which I think is technically a war crime.
Mm-mm.
But doing it in the office is just as bad.
Yep.
And then the last one is the reply all guy. The guy that replies all to all the emails because he thinks either he does it by mistake or what's even worse is the guy that thinks he's got a good joke.
Yeah.
And he sends that to everyone and everyone's like, oh, Craig got us again.
Get the fuck out. Have you ever been stuck in a like a monster reply all thread?
Oh, yeah. I'm on one from 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
From a CBS March Madness bracket.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. You got to get off that. All right. Those were good. I have to start off, I have thermostat people. people who always either complain about the temperature or they're just fucking with the thermostat and then all of a sudden it's like 1,000 degrees in the office. Just everyone needs to just like agree that in the winter you're going to be a little cold, wear some more clothes. Yep. In the summer you're going to be a little hot. Wear less clothes.
Now, I just want to say this doesn't apply to us because it is really, really hot in this podcast studio, and it sucks.
All the time.
And I'm pretty sure Pete is in charge of the Nest, the thermostat, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have one of those going?
No, so, we have no working air conditioning.
Well, Pete, let's... But again, that wasn't a complaint.
The next one I have is... And these are truly like all offices in America. The guy who takes a shit and doesn't spray.
Mm.
So... Usually the boss. It's usually the boss because he's like, I don't have to spray. Yeah. Like, my shit smells great. But there's always someone you walk in, you're walking in right after him, and it is bad.
So one of the ones I took off here was the overly aggressive bathroom shitter.
Yeah.
The guy where you sit down in the stall next to him, and, you know, you try to be tactful sometimes and not make a whole lot of noise, but the guy that just lets the bombs drop all the way and makes a lot of deep breaths and moans and all that. Keep that at home.
Yes, I agree. And then the third one I have is the... person who makes everyone sign a card, whether it be for a birthday or
like
everyone
kid.
Made us sign a card for Pete that was really stupid. Did you even read that card?
I read it all because I wanted to know who didn't sign it.
Got it. So you're anal and a weirdo, but most people don't give a fuck about cards.
Well, if Pete was anal, then he wouldn't have two kids.
Yeah, true. Good point. Think about that, Pete. Then you could maybe walk your dog once and then go out to the bar for 9 hours.
I'm gonna pitch that.
Right. Okay, let us know how that goes. Hey, circle back now that we're on office talk. And my last one is the meeting people. People who just need to get a meeting. Let's have a meeting. Let's discuss this in a meeting. It goes from email to meeting just way too fast. Like, oh, here's an email about one thing. You know what? Let's just do a meeting.
I would say that 99% of meetings in general could just be solved with a text thread.
Yes.
Right?
Without a doubt. And I had a bonus one. It's people who call themselves all business then tweet all the time while on the clock.
That's good. Yeah. So. People who get hired to do like a technical job and then insert themselves into content all the time.
Oh, I want to be on the podcast. Yeah. Let me come on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Talk about my kids. Mm-hmm. I think we got everyone, so we'll embrace debate.
Let us know who we left off, yeah, because we've missed a few, I can tell.
I'm surprised Pete didn't say messy desk people, because it could have really gotten me and PFT on that one.
I'm a huge messy desk guy.
Okay. Oh, yeah, hey, did you see the new study?
Sign of genius.
Yes, sign of genius. A messy desk, what is it? A
messy desk is an empty mind.
Yeah, cluttered desk is a cluttered mind, so what does that make an empty desk?
But if your mind is cluttered, then that means there are all sorts of facts in there.
Yeah, there's all sorts of facts and ideas swimming around.
Sorry, I got too many facts.
All right, let's do Mark to share before we get there. You had something for us, right, PFT?
I do, yeah. Get your side hustle on, people. We've all taken jobs to earn extra cash. Back in the day, I sold used dogs. I was a used dog counselor. I've got a better way that you can earn money on the side. You don't have to deal with all the fleas and ticks and gross stuff that I did. It's so much easier today thanks to Uber. Uber is the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber is a new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another job. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on and off just like your car. If you have a few spare hours here and there, drive with Uber. Every day's payday when you drive with Uber, because you can cash out anytime with instant pay. With access to instant pay, you cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. If you like earning extra cash, if there's something special you want to buy, or if your car can start making you some money, so go ahead, get your side hustle on, sign up to drive with Uber. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now.
Before we get to Mark's share, I just wanted to give you an update. Pete, I got an email. My dog walker walked Stella, had a great walk. It only cost us like $15, and boom, she's taken care of all day, just like your baby.
Oh, that's so crazy. I actually have a text right here, and Leroy's just asleep on the, he's on the rug. Good.
These are precious times. I hope you enjoy them.
All right, let's go to Mark Teixeira. All right, we now welcome on the show former Atlanta Brave, Mark Teixeira. What team would you like us to go? What team are you going to wear on your hat when you go into Cooperstown?
Ooh, it all depends on...
Oh, so you're saying you're going to go into Cooperstown.
Oh, I'll be there.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame, okay, but I'm taking my kids there. Absolutely. Okay. I'm taking my kids to Cooperstown. Okay. It's a great place.
Yes. So what's the cap? You want to be known as a Yankee?
Obviously, I want to be known as a Yankee, but when I'm in Texas, I'm a former Texas Ranger. When I'm in Georgia, I'm a former Atlanta Brave.
I
go out to L.A., people don't actually remember that I played for the Angels because it was 2.5 months.
Yes.
So I'm like, hey, Mark Teixeira, I actually played for your team.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I remember
they
now.
They just forget that they have a baseball team out there a lot.
Yeah.
They show up late to games, I'll say
bad
that.
Bad sports town.
Ooh. No. I will not say no, no, no.
Bad sports towns. Yeah. Which is worse, Atlanta or L.A.?
I'm not going to say either... is worse. But I will say there are fair weather fans everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably more diehards in LA. But Atlanta is a college sports mecca. They love their college sports in Atlanta. That's why the pro teams kind of get the shaft a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a good spin zone. They just care so deeply about Georgia Tech.
It's true, though. The South is not, you know.
It's rambling wreck country.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Their education.
Let's be honest.
All right. So that is the voice of Mark Teixeira. One of the most accomplished baseball players probably in the last 20 years. It's kind of when you're one of those guys, you look back at your career and you're like, damn, Mark Teixeira was really good for a really long time. So the first question is, did you ever take steroids?
Absolutely not.
that was a joke question. I know you didn't.
Obviously it was. And unfortunately, I played in a time where we thought it was clean
right.
for a couple years. You know, we started doing testing. And I'm glad that guys that got caught because this is a game that it's a special game. It should be played clean by players that are just going out there and doing their best. And hopefully most of that stuff's out of the game now. And but we'll see. Obviously, there's always going to be guys trying to cheat.
So right. This year, players are hitting the ball to the moon at record paces. Do you think it's a rise of, you know, HGH that you're not able to test for yet? Or do you think they're juicing the balls or the bats?
I think the balls are wound a little tighter this year, no doubt. I think pitchers are throwing harder and guys are stronger. So therefore, the ball's just going to go further. I think that combination, I don't think it's steroids. I'm going to be honest with you. I think you can be an average major leaguer and still make $10 million.
Right.
So I think back in the old days when it was only the superstars that were getting paid, everyone was trying to take steroids to make it. I don't think it's as big right now because you can be an average player and still make a great living in baseball.
Have you thought about the bats? Because we're not conspiracy theorist guys. We're connect the dots guys. And people just don't talk about the bats enough. We know that you could cork a bat,
yeah.
But now they can check for that. So you don't think there's a technology that they've been able to figure out?
It's better wood. It's like in tennis. Mm-hmm. It's like in golf. Better technology creates further balls, faster balls, whatever it might be. So absolutely, you know, Barstool is probably the smartest and most deep thinking media outlet that's out there.
I got another one for you. Just came to me. Global warming. Earth is hotter. When it's warmer, ball travels farther.
Well, also the air, hot air rises.
Right.
So that means that there's less air.
Okay.
Which means the ball goes through the vacuum of air faster.
This is a situation where we're knowing too much.
Less, so you connect all those dots, it actually looks like Orion's belt when you connect the dots.
Yes.
So and it's Aaron Judge's belt, actually.
Right.
The more global
exactly.
warming we can get in this world, the better for baseball. If you like dingers, just go outside and start burning styrofoam all the time.
Right.
Don't buy a Tesla if you like home runs.
Right. Exactly.
We had Anthony Rizzo on the show a while ago, and he's obviously a first baseman. You played first base for a while. He couldn't answer this question. Why do first basemen wear special gloves?
You need a big glove.
Is that really necessary?
Yes.
He said you didn't.
Absolutely.
Just get, a big glove.
He was obviously bigger than me. I needed a big glove, and that the flat side on the back – you do catch a lot of balls come off that flat side, and you really don't want to get like stuck in between the fingers.
So why doesn't every position wear a glove like that?
Mm. Well, I think probably we should have different gloves for different positions. Ooh. Someday baseball will figure that out.
You know what? If I'm Rawlings right now, I create a specialized third baseman's glove, specialized shortstop, right field, left field. You segment the shit out of it, you become a millionaire.
Yeah, they kind of already do, but it doesn't look that much different. I mean, there's a size for third base, there's a size for second base, shortstop, outfield, whatever, but they just don't look that much different.
What was your go-to chit-chat at first base when a guy gets on first?
If I didn't know him, it was just basic, hey, how about this weather?
Right.
Like, it was just so basic. I wanted to be nice enough to give him chit-chat, but didn't want to go deep. Like, I don't know this guy. He might be a nut job.
Right.
So I don't really want to tell him, like, where my family's sitting up in the, the section.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but guys I know, like, it's deep. It's like, hey, man, I was like, you know, I saw on Twitter, like, your son's hitting bombs now. Like, how old is he? Like, I'll get into guys. Like, I don't get to catch up with guys during the season. It's 162 games. Like, I got my catch-up time at first base.
Did you ever get a guy caught? Like, you know, maybe a little bit far off the base because you were talking to him too much?
I told guys to be quiet when I was at first base. There were certain first basemen. I'm like, hey, dude, like, I'm the winning run.
Right.
Stop talking to me.
Was there a first baseman in the league that, like, everyone knew is, like, he talks way too much?
Really needy guy?
When I played against Nick Swisher, it was – I loved him when I played with him because he's hilarious. When I played against him, I'm like, bro, I'm trying to win this game. Shut up.
Yeah, right.
I could see Kevin Millar being like that too.
Yeah. Millar's a little bit like that. You know, the two nicest guys probably ever at first base were Jim Thome and Sean Casey.
I believe that.
Like the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. And they're both – they both work for MLB Network and they're really good at talking about baseball. They're very personable guys. I enjoyed being at first base with them.
Jim Thome has the number one compliment that I would love to have in my life, country strong. Mm-hmm. He is country strong. Everyone looks at Jim Thome and they're like, country
him
strong.
Him and Adam Dunn, I'm still convinced that they're from the same cloth.
Right, they're just big old boys.
Big
like,
donkeys.
And they're not really in great shape. I like so you that. Can't big be like donkeys. They're ripped. Right, they're not ripped because they don't look ripped, but they're country strong.
They've been carrying around bales of hay since they were like 4 years old. And that's how you get big. That and a lot of milk. That's what Jim Harbaugh tells us. So you played on that Yankees team. You won the World Series. How sick did you get of that song, that Alicia Keys New York song? Because I hated it about 30 seconds after you motherfuckers won the World Series.
I enjoyed it for about 6 months afterwards. And my friends, like I'd be around my friends and I'd like throw it on or it'd come on. And they would be like, turn it off. I've heard it enough.
Right.
You know what? It was a great rallying cry for us. They played it, I think, game two at Yankee Stadium. Got the crowd, you know, pumped. I had a home run that game.
You hit a walk-off, right?
That was in the ALDS. Yeah. Yeah. But game two of the World Series, we were facing Pedro, you know, when he was with the Phillies. I hit a home run. We win that game. We're back in the series, and the rest is history. So as much as I got tired of it, it still brings back some good memories.
Is that when you earned your pinstripes? Or better question, have you earned your pinstripes?
Yeah.
I still haven't, actually.
No, you might not
Someone called me a couple days ago, and they said, hey, by the way, Mark, just want to let you know, you haven't earned your pinstripes. So the plan is when I'm 40, I'm going to go back to Old Timers Day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hit a home run from both sides of the plate at Old Timers Day and earn my pinstripes.
Do you think A-Rod's earned his pinstripes? I don't think so.
You know, I think Alex has. He's been through so much. The amount of entertainment that he has given fans nationwide, worldwide.
I agree with you.
Unmatched.
I actually am an employee for A-Rod Corp. He doesn't know that, but I am an employee for A-Rod Corp. I don't think he's earned his pinstripes. I don't think Yankee fans would be like Alex Rodriguez pinstripes.
Not a true Yankee.
No, this is also, by the way, but just so you know, this is our favorite stupid argument that Yankee fans are like, when do you earn your pin? You finally earn your pinstripes.
You're not a true Yankee yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
now Yankee. Derek Jeter is going to text you back.
I love it. Well, you know what? I'll say this. So Alex, his last game, you know, I played for the Yankees for 8 years. His last game, the Yankee crowd was as into it as any game I've ever, including playoffs.
Okay.
So I'll say this. I love Alex. Alex is the most entertaining Yankee, more than Derek.
Yeah.
Because of the highs and lows.
Right.
He'll bring you as high as you want to be, and he'll bring you as low as you want to be.
So I do agree that by the end, Yankees fans, like, loved him. But there was a very long time where Yankees fans had a very, like, it was a tumultuous relationship, and he had some controversies. Everyone always talks about the New York media, you know, how hard it is to play in New York. Did you ever be like, man, playing with Alex Rodriguez in New York just makes it almost impossible with the media?
You know what? He took heat off me. Like,
really?
I didn't do this. I didn't sign with the Yankees on purpose because I didn't want heat. Because I actually enjoy, like, I enjoy this. I enjoy hanging out and talking and, like, talking about the game and having fun. But if I went 4-for-4 with a home run and Alex was caught on page 6 doing something, they were all going to his locker.
Right.
And sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad, but overall, I just got to play baseball.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he took a lot of heat off a lot of us.
How badly did he want to play shortstop? Like, at the end, was he accidentally stealing Jeter's, like, shortstop mitt?
No, actually, you know what? He didn't. He was all in to play third base. You know, say what you want about Alex, this guy wants to win. He's a team player. He wants to win. He never talked about, I'm a better shortstop, blah, blah. Like, never heard it. And I'm very close with Alex. He embraced third base and enjoyed it. And he'll tell you right now, like, if he gets into the Hall of Fame, he's a third baseman. Like,
big if.
That's his position because he won a World Series as a third baseman. He played most of his career as a third baseman. And that's where he'll probably, wind up in the Hall of Fame.
Is it true? I once read a story. Alex Rodriguez, every guy who gets called up to Yankees, he went and bought them 3 suits right away. Is that true?
It's not exactly true. Okay. He definitely took care of all of us.
Right.
Like, when I was a rookie in Texas, he took care of me, took me out to dinners. I signed a nice bonus, so it's like I didn't need a suit.
Right.
The guys that were making the minimum, that didn't get the big bonus out of high school or college. He absolutely took care of him. Yeah. One of the best teammates you'll ever find.
So we did a lot of research on you, and by that I mean we looked at your Wikipedia page, and it said on there that...
It's pretty boring, by the way. You need to spice it up.
Yeah, we need to... I think the listeners will take care of that.
I'll go out, I'll hijack a car right now in South Beach.
You don't have a controversy
section.
No, I
Googled Mark Teixeira controversy, and all that came up was the time that Steven Matz hit you, and you like yelled at him.
Yeah, there's a few on-field
things. That was it. Damn it, man.
I tried to tell people...
Make it hard on us.
Listen, it's really fun being like an all-star and you know, winning a World Series or whatever, being a good baseball player. You know what sucks is like, you know, being on a police blotter.
Yes.
Having your family hate you.
Like, right.
I see all these guys that have all these tough things that happen to them off the field. And from a very early age, I was like, you know what? Forget all that stuff. I'm gonna keep my head down. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have fun on the field. Off the field, I'm gonna be a regular guy.
You know what you've got going for you? You've got the "but he's an even better person" thing going for you. So people love to say that about Mark Teixeira.
I appreciate that. You know, my wife wouldn't always say it's true. Like, I always tell people, like, if you think I'm nice, and I guess I'm a nice guy. Like, my wife is the sweetest person in the world, and people meet me, and next to her, I look like a jerk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm a huge, huge jerk next to this, like, perfect, you know, woman who just, like, never says anything bad about anybody.
By the way, you just admitted that you're a nice guy. I didn't want to say it,
that's
but
a pretty
it's
big
clear that, that you're the beta to our alphas. So, I mean, you figured that, right, when you walked in.
I let other people tell me that.
Yeah,
I'm a nice
you just
guy.
Told us. You're like, yeah, I'm beta to you guys.
Big controversy on Mark Teixeira's Wikipedia page. Egotistical maniac.
No, he's like a couple. He's betas to the part of my take, boys.
I can sell that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna like turn into like. remember when like Dennis Rodman turned dark?
Yes.
Like no tattoos, regular hair.
Yeah.
Like workman, you know, getting rebounds.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show up next year at the All Star game like just, green hair, tattoos everywhere.
Going to North Korea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
I always wanted to vacation in North Korea.
So I did look up on your Wikipedia page and it said that. I think it was in one of your last games, Twisted Sister gave you a guitar.
Yes.
You a big Twisted Sister guy?
Yeah, you know what? I like him a little bit. I came out to I Wanna Rock for like half of my career.
That's
we're
good.
Not going to take it. Like, they got some sweet songs, and they actually presented me with a signed guitar before the second to last game of my career. Like, and I was like, you know what? This is one of the coolest things ever. They didn't have to do that. They were playing a gig in Jersey and like drove an hour to Yankee Stadium. I thought it was pretty neat.
Were you mad that it was an Epiphone, not a Gibson?
I don't know what kind of guitar it is, actually. I think it's a Fender.
Oh,
I think
okay.
I think it's a Fender. It's pretty sweet, though.
Yeah. I alluded to this question earlier. Does Derek Jeter return your texts?
He does, actually.
Oh, that was a little pause.
You know what? Because we haven't texted in a while.
Oh, okay. So
I'm
sure his number is still his number?
Why don't you just send him one? Just like test a floater.
Hey,
you know what's funny?
What's hey, it's
most
Mark.
Most guys change their number every year, 2 years. Derek's pretty consistent because he doesn't give it out much.
Right.
Like the guys that are like, hey, I want to be your buddy. Here's my text. Like, here's my phone number. Uh-huh. Then they change it tomorrow so you don't text them.
So
Derek's not one of those guys.
Okay, so how many guys in the Yankees clubhouse had Derek's number?
Probably half.
Interesting.
Probably half. Yeah.
So, and then what was the process? What's harder, getting Derek Jeter's number or earning your pinstripes?
Oh,
I think they're one of the same, right?
Earning your pinstripes. Yeah, I got Derek Jeter's number right away. He called me the day I signed.
Well, that's because you're a good player. So he, you know.
If I was a middle reliever that signed a 1 year deal, probably wasn't going to call
Do any of the guys would they like be like, all right, I got to start talking to Jeter a little more, try to get his number here? Like,
you know what? He's a very approachable guy. Like, he actually, Derek makes fun of himself in the clubhouse. He's very lighthearted in the clubhouse. He wasn't this, you know, very serious, you know, straightforward guy that we see on TV. He did that on purpose. He learned at a very young age, and you're seeing with Aaron Judge right now. He's doing the same thing. I'm going to be just very laser focused, put my blinders on. My fun is going to be after we win the World Series and after I make 10 All-Star games and after I make $200 million. That's my fun. I'm not going to go out and party and live it up and say crazy things to the media because that's just all distraction.
So maybe the second best debate in baseball besides has this player earned their pinstripes is who's the face of baseball? We love to talk about that. Is it Judge?
Right now it is. You know, with Mike Trout being hurt, Mike Trout being on the West Coast, the New York market is just crazy about baseball. I mean, some of the most passionate fans are Mets fans.
Yeah.
You guys ever talk to Mets fans?
Oh, yeah.
Will scream at you if you say anything bad about them when they're good. But if you say anything good about them when they're bad, mm-hmm. they're even worse.
They're almost uncomfortable when they're happy sometimes.
Yes, you try to give them a compliment when they're bad,
yes.
and they will tear your head off.
We have a ton of Mets fans who work with us, and I mean, the Cubs won the World Series. And I think Mets fans still think that they're better than the Cubs because of that sweep in 2015. It's mm-hmm. like, but the Cubs won the World Series. But I get that all the time. Like, hey, we swept you in 2015.
Yeah, but back to the face of baseball, when you have a stud like Aaron Judge, who's literally larger than life and is doing it in New York, it's hard to say he's not the face of baseball
right
now.
Too much pressure too fast?
Mm.
He's still a kid.
Mm-hmm. No, he's 25.
he's still a kid.
He's a little older. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? The reason I like Aaron, I like him for a lot of reasons, but he failed last year and he bounced back. A lot of guys have success right away and then they fail and they don't know how to get back up. They don't know how to like figure it out. He kind of crashed and burned last year, and he'll tell you. He was terrible. Struck out 42 out of 84 plate appearances. Was a little bit lost at the plate. He went out this offseason, fixed his swing.
Yeah.
Now he is an absolute beast. Mm-hmm. And like I told him 10 times yesterday, just like how happy I was for him, and just keep doing what you're doing. Because your talent and your size will play for a long time.
Right.
And just keep doing what you're doing.
He's got the biggest strike zone in baseball, right? So kind of a detriment there.
A little bit, but the way that he has kind of counteracted that is he doesn't mind that he strikes out. Like, who cares if you strike out 200 times?
Right.
Like, you're gonna
Adam
make,
Dunn didn't.
If you make 400 outs a year, which, you know, you hit 300, you're still going to make 400 outs a year, and you strike out 200, who cares?
Right.
As long as those other, you know, 400 at-bats, you're hitting some home runs, you're driving in some runs, this guy has a chance to win the Triple Crown. Now, it's very tough to do, but how many guys 6'7" have ever been in that conversation? It's not easy.
Do you think he's going to have to move to first base?
Eventually, he'll probably want to. Because you know your knees and your feet will get worn down over a long season, and if I'm the Yankees, you know I figure out when that time is. It's not right now because he's still very athletic. Eventually, he'll want to move to first base because it will save his career a little bit.
Right. Let's see what else I had here. Oh, have you ever slept over Jeter's house? And if so, what was the gift basket you got?
I've never slept at Jeter's house. I've been to Jeter's house, St. Jetersburg in Tampa.
St. Jetersburg.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about, and like I tell him this, and I really mean it. I'm like, this is the most tastefully done 30,000 square foot house I've ever been in. Because most times when you go into a 30,000 square foot house, you're like, oh, why do you need this room? Why do you need that room? Like every room I went to, I'm like, yeah, I could spend time here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could spend time
every room
there.
Had a purpose.
It was very well done.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I remember what I wanted to ask you. Explain to us, just like we're 5 years old, because I really still can't comprehend it, how the fuck you become a switch hitter. I do not understand it.
It's nuts. I would never tell a kid to be a switch hitter. You know the reason I became a switch hitter? I grew up in Baltimore and liked Eddie Murray. Like, that's the only reason. My dad and I used to go to O's games.
Right.
We liked Eddie Murray. And so when I was a kid in the backyard, we were playing wiffle ball. And I was like, I'm going to hit left-handed like Eddie, like, you know, like a little six-year-old kid. And I could actually hit left-handed. And then I just kept doing it. When I was 13, I was raking right-handed. I tell kids, listen, buddy, you're not going to make the big leagues unless you're the best player on your team every year as a kid.
Mm. Right.
Like, you're not going to ride the bench as a 9-year-old and make it to the big leagues.
Right. Mm.
So I was always so much better than everyone. I was playing.
Not to brag. Wow. Here comes that ego again. That legendary to
Dennis Rodman coming out. I was so much better than everyone. I had to challenge myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started hitting left-handed in games when I was like 13. Went into high school. By my sophomore year, I was kind of even both sides. But now I look back at it. What was I thinking?
But it's crazy. It blows my mind because I can't do anything with my left hand, let alone be like a super accomplished hitter on both sides of the plate. It's insane when you think about it.
Now that I've been retired for a year, I marvel at what these guys can do. Like, I couldn't do that right now, just physically. My body couldn't do that anymore. But last year, I was grinding it out and trying to do it. Then you have to do it from both sides of the plate.
Right. Yeah.
What an idiot. Loser.
How much of the work that you would put in on your right-handed swing would be like immediately transferable to the left side of the plate?
Zero.
So you'd have to do twice the work.
I was two completely different hitters. I don't exaggerate when I say this because people used to give me a hard time about slow starts. Every year in spring training, I had to learn how to hit again.
Really?
That's insane.
I literally would come to spring training. the first few games of spring training, I would look like I never played baseball.
That's would you crazy. Be scared? Like in your first few at bats, you'd be like, I don't know how to hit anymore.
Absolutely. At every spring training, I showed up and I'm like, and I worked all offseason, but the cage is different. Like the cage, whatever. Once a pitcher got up there and he started throwing curveballs and the timing and like you have to figure out like where to make contact to actually make the ball move forward. I was like, oh my gosh, my career is over.
My
14 straight years. 14 straight years, I thought my career was over.
My theory was that you started hitting left-handed because you didn't like to run and you're closer to first base. Mm-hmm. How much of a factor was that?
You are a little bit closer. I will say that, but I was never fast. I broke my broke my ankle in college. So the little speed, I was probably an average runner in college. Broke my ankle in half, had like screws put in and everything, and then I became a below average right away. So like I was always going to have to hit the ball in the air and hope for the best.
We had AJ Pruszynski on, and he tried to tell us that he didn't want to swear because his kids could listen. And we're like, AJ, come on, man. He's like, yeah, you're right.
My
like,
kids don't even know I'm in Miami right now.
Ooh, oh, there we go.
Yeah, good.
Bad
like,
boy.
They're just like, hey, Dad, I'll see you in a couple days. I'm going to Grandma and Papa's.
You got like a little Bartolo Colon thing going? Maybe a couple families?
Definitely not. Definitely not. I don't leave the hotel room. You know what I love?
We are staying in the same hotel, so that is actually
that
true.
That really worked out well, didn't it, guys?
That is actually true.
First of all, I haven't showered today. What time is it? It's like 12:45. Yeah. I haven't showered yet. I had the best room service breakfast. I'm a room service connoisseur.
Ooh.
I get a pot of coffee. I get a nice omelet, side of fruit, watch the news or highlights, whatever. It was a very lovely morning.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to start doing that more.
I wake up in a pool of my own vomit and crawl into the shower. Yeah. And if I'm lucky, I turn it on for 5 seconds.
Man, that was 1999, I tell you. Because they told me the world was going to end.
Yes,
so the way I looked at it, I was like, okay, the world's going to end in 2000. I might as well live it up in 99.
Right.
That was my freshman year at college. It's like, couldn't get any worse anyway.
Yes, that's the stars aligning. I don't know what I would do if I was a freshman in 1999. Mm. And like, no computers really. Well, the computers you had were going to blow up.
Yeah. So you threw them all out.
Yeah.
Did you get rid of your computers? Were you scared of them?
I tried to wipe them all clean when I left, the server wipe.
What is Mark Teixeira's? We'll finish with this. What does Mark Teixeira's Google search look like?
We should start taking people's phones.
Yeah, what does that look like? What's the last Google search? I mean, I would imagine it's like, I don't know, like
weird spelled names of athletes?
Like discount rakes at Home Depot or something like that. Like,
you know what? I'm trying to think the last thing I got ordered online.
Gray Russell athletic sweatshirt.
I'm a huge, listen, I'm a big clean underwear guy.
Okay.
Like, I probably went on Amazon and was like, give me some nice like Tommy Hilfiger boxers.
Perfect. MeUndies.
Yeah. Like a flexible waistband.
Yep,
like,
MeUndies, you got to try them.
MeUndies.
Most comfortable, yeah.
Okay.
It's not a plug.
You ever worn
super
modal
soft
fabric?
Yeah.
It's engineered to be the most soft fabric.
And if you use code Pardon My Take, you can get a discount.
I'm a big, like, they have these dry fit jock straps for when you, like, work out or play golf or tennis or something. They will change your life.
Okay.
Like dry fit.
I don't do any of those things.
I'm a blogger.
I don't know
do
if you
yog.
I do not yog. I don't do any. This is the most exercise I'll get today was shaking your hand and then walking and sitting down.
Okay. Well, hey,
so
that
find me an
for
underwear
you
for that. MeUndies.
But I mean, jock straps, you don't have to be playing a sport to wear a jock strap.
I was playing golf with actually a couple Patriots, Wes Welker, a couple of those guys. And Wes.
Did Wes offer you any Molly? I went to the Breeders' Cup with Wes, and he did not offer me Molly. I thought that was really rude.
It's the next hour. But no, seriously. So these guys were making fun of me because they were all wearing like T-shirts and board shorts and stuff, and I'm wearing like full like Tiger Woods Nike outfit.
That's
I've been
very
a Nike guy
share
for
move.
Like 10 years.
Yep.
Do you hit righty or lefty?
I'm a right-handed golfer. Okay. So anyway, so Wes is like making fun of me on like the 11th hole, and he's like, dude, I guarantee you're wearing Nike boxer short, or
compression
Nike
shorts
sliders
or,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, no chance. He's like, show me. So I pulled my pants down.
Are you sure you didn't take Molly before this?
Boxers.
boxer briefs?
No. I wasn't wearing boxers. That's what he said. Boxers. Yeah, yeah. I said, nope. I pulled him down, jock strap.
Oof.
It is the best thing. It will change your life.
Wait, just a jock strap.
Just a jock strap.
Just
golf.
A jock strap.
Jock strap and shorts.
So your ass
so you got
is
naked
out.
Ass. Your
yes.
Assless chaps.
Yes.
Your ass is just rubbing on your shorts.
Okay,
that's,
so this
no,
is.
No, no, no. That's the beautiful thing. Dry fit shorts, dry fit jockstrap.
Okay,
it is the most perfect.
It took 45 minutes, but we finally got there. We finally got the controversy we were looking for. Mark Teixeira is that dude who wears a jockstrap while golfing.
Yes.
You pull back the onions.
Yeah. 100%. We see you down long enough and we'll get there.
100%. Why wouldn't you? Like, this is my thing. When people ask, because I tell all my friends this, because I've been doing it for years, they say, like, dude, why are you wearing a jockstrap? I'm like, why aren't you? That's the question.
So everyone has a friend who's like, you know, like, oh, like, it's almost like you're working for a pyramid scheme. You're the guy who's selling, like, the crazy fake tea on Facebook, and you're just walking up to your friends and like, hey, have I told you about the jockstrap?
It's like a movie with David Duchovny where he was just like a guerrilla marketer for everything just by influencing people.
I'm going to give you three things that will change your life. Three things.
Okay.
We've already talked about one. Jockstrap while golfing. Okay. Number two. Gold bond powder.
Okay, that I'm with you on that.
Be careful,
with
you on that. Don't inhale that stuff. It's really bad if you inhale it.
Yes, I'm serious. With you on that.
Number three, Chris baby Bosch. Wipes.
Yes, I'm if also with you on that.
If you do those three dude things, wipes. I guarantee your life will be better.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Everybody should put those three things in their drawer, in their suitcase, wherever they have, in their locker.
Okay,
their lives are immediately better.
I'm gonna connect the dots on this, and basically you're saying that, like, if you take the most immaculate care of your butt and your balls, then you can wear a jock strap.
Yes.
For all of us normal guys.
Yeah. I didn't say
all of us normal guys who are walking around maybe at like 60-70% cleanliness, you can't afford to be wearing a jock. You're gonna ruin your pants.
It's 100% humidity out there right now. Let's go, let's walk down the street and let's look at the facial expressions of most men. All right. And I guarantee you, most men have this like pissed off look on their face.
Walking,
you know why?
Sucks.
It's not because of their job or their family or what. It is because they're walking around with chafed legs, sweaty, swampy undercarriages.
I've never seen anyone care more about something than you care about jockstraps.
I have a smile on my face at all times because I'm fresh and happy all
day
long.
That's the secret
to
life.
This is it. Mark Teixeira never got into controversy because he spent all his time thinking about how to keep his ass clean.
when you're on the air on ESPN, you know, it's like you hear some of the anchors, they wear like shorts underneath the desk. Are you rocking a jock strap on the air?
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't gone there yet.
Ooh.
But I'll tell you this. If we ever have to do any of those like challenges where like they like you swing a bat in your suit, or you go out on the, you know, you play stick ball like for Letterman, like on the on Fifth Avenue or whatever, and you're like, you're swinging. If I have to wear a suit and I know I'm swinging a baseball bat or like throwing or something, I will absolutely wear a jock strap. I'm not going to have that ruin my day. You know what I'm doing after Letterman? I'm going to a great dinner.
Oh, my
in
God.
Your jockstrap.
And I want to be feeling
strap.
Good.
In your jockstrap.
It's also just like a fun secret that you have with yourself. Everyone you meet, you look them in the eye and you know that you're wearing a jockstrap.
Yeah,
that is kind of an alpha move.
Yeah.
Okay. But remember, so Calvin
Klein. I'm talking myself into a jockstrap.
I'm kind of feeling it now, too.
Calvin Klein makes these like dry fit jockstraps that are they're like silk. It's like sleeping naked in silk.
It's
sheets.
The man G string.
No, but there's no G.
There is no G.
It doesn't cut you in half.
That's the beauty.
It's like an O string.
That's the beauty.
It just goes around your ass.
You guys had no idea this is where this conversation was going.
I had a pretty good idea we'd get there eventually.
But it's crazy to know that like anyone who's listening to this podcast, if you've ever met Mark Teixeira, he probably had nothing covering his ass.
There's a good chance if there was any type of athletic activity involved, no chance. Who wears thick boxers when they're playing sports?
Everywhere.
That's just nuts.
Everyone. All right, Mark Teixeira, this was a ton of fun. We'd love to have you back. Actually, you're a recurring guest, so you're legally obligated to come back on whenever we want you back.
I'm just going to go ahead and call it right now. It's not called a G string. It's going to be called an EIX string.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's patent it.
We'll be your social influencers for
70%.
Done.
Yeah, we'll tweet it and all
done.
That stuff.
That's
done.
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 That's
a binding contract in Florida.
How much money did you make in your career?
It's
retroactive. Yeah, so we get a piece of that too.
There you go.
Just a taste. All right, Mark Teixeira, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
It was great, guys.
All right, let's take a quick break to talk about the CreditWise app with a message brought to you by Capital One. An athlete stays in shape by thinking about key factors that influence their game. Eating well, practice, training, and exercise. Sounds basically like what I'm up to. Doing a lot of bench press, doing a lot of sprint drills, doing a lot of ketosis. Well, it's the same thing if you're trying to keep your credit health in shape. There are key factors you have to keep an eye on, and the CreditWise app helps you keep track of all of them. Do you pay your bills on time? How many accounts do you have? And how long have your accounts been open? When you keep those factors in check, You can keep your credit score strong and healthy. CreditWise also lets you check your TransUnion credit report anytime you want for signs of error, theft, or fraud. If something looks wrong, the app will tell you what to do next. CreditWise will also send you automatic email alerts when your credit report changes. And the best part, it's free for everyone, whether you're a Capital One customer or not. So download the free CreditWise app today and keep your credit strong.
Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You know what? I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
All right, thank you to Mark Teixeira. We're going to have him back on in the fall. I like Mark a lot. I think people think he's a plain Jane, but it turns out if you've ever met him, his ass cheeks have been bare while he's talking to you.
Yes.
Great little peel back of the onion for Mark Teixeira.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have Emergency Football Guy of the Week. And when we say emergency, we really actually mean emergency, because this is maybe the most football guy story ever. Bruce Arians came out and said that he drank paint as a kid twice. Mm-hmm. So
didn't learn the lesson the first time. Well, he had to get his stomach pumped twice. So, who knows how many times he actually drank it?
Right. The story goes that he thought that drinking paint would make it more difficult for the neighborhood kids to tackle him when playing football as a child.
Well, prove to me where it doesn't.
He became an NFL head coach.
Exactly.
It an worked, accomplished coach.
It worked for him. It's an ultimate football guy move. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that he just had some really bad internal illnesses, right? He had like liver and kidney issues last year.
Yeah.
Probably unrelated from drinking the lead paint.
I like it because it just shows at a very young age he was ready to try anything to succeed in football.
He just got it in his head that, hey, if I drink this poison, then it'll make, and he's probably right, because if you do drink enough paint, no one's going to want to hang out with you.
Yeah, your breath smells, you're probably puking you're everywhere.
Farting all the time. Right. No one's going to want to try to tackle you.
Paint
No one's going to go low on you.
Or they think they're like, oh, he's a little off. Like, let's take it easy on him. He's the paint drinker.
That's right. Fun fact about Bruce Arians is he had more rushing touchdowns in a season at Virginia Tech than Michael Vick did.
Ooh, so, that is a fun fact.
Yeah, so paint. Dual threat.
Yeah. Got paint?
Get your paint on.
Exactly. What are your thoughts on that, Pete? Pete stopped listening. I just wanted to make sure that everyone
knew that.
You told
me I could zone out after Mount Rushmore.
Yep, you're not listening. I wrote this down. I had a real quick for you. Did you see that LeBron went to Lonzo Ball's summer league game dressed in purple?
What?
The Lake
purple?
Lakers wear?
Wait, so Lakers are purple. Hmm. Purple is the color of royalty.
Hmm.
King James.
Does LeBron have gout? We have a just chill out, man. This one's for SEC Media Day. There is an Auburn football fan who has his name. What's his name? Tiger Jake. I love SEC football because they all have nicknames and they're all like, oh yeah, that's Tiger Jake. Like, we all know who Tiger Jake is.
Yeah, like we should be an idiot for not knowing who Tiger Jake is
right.
by
it's
this point.
This world of mini celebrities that don't matter.
I like the analogy. I like the fact that an SEC fan has a dog that does all this, because basically
we didn't even say what he does. He paints his dog.
Oh,
I didn't say that. Yeah, he paints his dog different colors to look like a tiger.
Right.
Yeah. He's an asshole.
It's like a small Maltese. You don't like that?
I think painting dogs is really fucked up.
I think as far as stuff that goes on inside the households of SEC families, that's probably pretty low on the fucked up list.
True.
I think it's also very appropriate that they use a dog, because they do. SEC people in general age at quite an accelerated rate.
Right.
So in dog years, it's like Auburn's just coming off their last national championship.
Yes, yes.
So returning national champions, Auburn. As far as Tiger Jake knows.
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan of people who paint their dogs.
I think it's harmless fun, right?
No, I think it's fucked up. I think the dogs know. Like, you're shaming. Dogs can feel embarrassment. They can. I'm standing pretty hard on this one.
I am firmly on team paint your dogs.
No. You're on the wrong side of history.
We'll
friend.
See about that.
Next up, we have
dogs. Dogs don't see color.
By the way, true. They only see in two dimension too, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah, I think I made that up. There's no way that that's.
I don't
true.
Think that
they can't see TVs.
They would
that's
walk
right.
off a cliff if they could only see.
Yes,
in two
yes.
dimensions.
They can't. They don't understand TV depth.
So they don't understand two dimensions.
Yes, Well, they're three-dimensional creatures.
Good for dogs. They're actually like readers.
Yeah. I wrote this down. I did a really bad job researching it, but I had a talking soccer. I just saw a bunch of people bitching about Team USA on Twitter last night. I think we won, but like, who cares?
But it was a moral victory, or what was it? We beat a really bad team.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about soccer. We beat a shitty team we normally don't play with our 20 to 20 and a half year old team.
Right.
And five of our best players weren't playing because they were with their club teams.
It was the 198th month year olds that we put out there. Exactly. The under 198th month.
Exactly. So that's soccer. A real shame.
That was talking soccer. Next up, we have a bad visual, and this one goes to one of my favorite Cubs, Sammy Sosa, who now looks like a candle mixed with John Taffer mixed with a pimp. Mm-hmm. And it's bad.
Rick Riley said, looks like he's testing positive for Pepto-Bismol.
Ooh.
So that's a 1.5.
Embrace the bait.
Two and a half Kate Upton boobs for that one.
I can see it. He's got the chalky look, and he's got the pink hat.
Why is Sammy doing this to himself? What's in his mind?
I don't think he's doing it to himself. I think it's years and years of steroids that are doing it to him.
So if you take steroids for long enough, you become pink.
If you take 90s steroids, there's a big difference, because steroids have gotten actually like healthy now, where if you're not taking steroids, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be that it was, they would just like take, Billy, you know, they just take testosterone from a bull's nuts and just put it right in their ass, right?
That's what they did in the 90s.
Yeah. Wait, they, with a needle though, right?
Yeah.
Not directly from the bull.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
They just get teabagged
by that
bull.
Makes sense. So Sosa was jacked as hell and he like gradually turned white. You see the same thing happen with Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was swole.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing steroids back in the day too.
Yeah. Either way, it's sad. I feel sad. People are like, I feel like people now forget Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa being in the home run. I mean, that was maybe the greatest summer of all time.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think people forget that?
I do think people forget that, because Mark McGwire is like, had that whole thing in front of Congress where he embarrassed himself, and Sammy Sosa is now a vampire. So I think it's hard to remember that.
But you think that Barry Bonds, since he did better steroids, he's not going to like turn pink later?
No.
Okay.
His head seems to be going back to a normal size.
If Barry Bonds turned pink, he would look like Porky Pig with that head. Jesus Christ, that dome. He should just walk around for the rest of his life like with a shirt on and no pants, just stuttering.
Yeah, Barry Bonds, big biker.
Is he really?
Cyclist.
Oh, now I got excited. I thought he was like rocking leather and riding up and down the coast beating the shit out of people.
Last up, before we get to higher education, we have a Respect the Biz, and this is for Wimbledon. What's the story here? They're making people change their underwear?
Yeah, so the story was, it was before a third round match, and this guy from Austria, Rodionov, he was flagged by officials because they could spot he had too much color on his underwear underneath his white. So they came up and they escorted him off the court, and he had to change his underpants and then came back on.
Fucking England and Wimbledon. And
it said, here's the rule. Ready for this? Any undergarments that either or can be visible during play, including due to perspiration, must also be completely white except for a single trim of color no wider than 1 centimeter. So if you sweat through if you sweat through your pants, which are white, and then they can see like a black strip on your underwear, they get to make you change them. So I'm hoping that they have like golf fans at home in Wimbledon who are just watching just women's tennis being like, oh, that looks a little red.
We should go have like a wet t-shirt contest outside of Wimbledon next year with some strawberries and cream. If our friends at MeUndies are smart, they should hold their own tournament where you can just see the MeUndies. Just play in your MeUndies.
Play in your underwear. That's what they did in the Olympics back in the day.
Right.
Except it was nude. Wimbledon should be all nude.
Should we talk a little tennis?
Yeah, let's talk some tennis. God, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, and that was talking tennis.
Okay. do you think that maybe Jaron Ravel is like, now that he knows that this rule exists, he's at home like watching every women's tennis match and categorizing like their the color and shape of every piece of underwear that he sees?
That was the dumbest question ever. Of course he is.
Yeah. for the business aspect.
All right, we're going to finish up with higher education. Before we get to that, just a reminder, we have J.J. Watt coming Monday and Wednesday, and then we have the Takeys on Friday. Hank will be back for those, so look forward to that. We also...
I just want to say that to the award-winning listeners, Yes, we do have only 1 week left for the takies, mm-hmm. and you've got your back-to-back title to defend. But we're kind of like the BCS. If you lose a game late, it means more in the back of our head.
Yes.
So this is actually the most important week yes. for you guys to be on your P's and Q's.
We also, if you are an award-winning listener living in the greater Milwaukee area, and you are watching Judge Judy from four to five. Which one is it? All right, so we'll just say 4 to 5. If you're watching Judge Judy every day, be on the lookout because we bought some ad space thanking ourselves for raising all that money for J.J. Watt.
Well, we're not thanking ourselves. We're just anonymously saying that we may have given a lot of money.
So if you live in Milwaukee and you want to watch Judge Judy next week, it will be airing then. Billy, ready? Don't lose track. Go back to higher education. All right, here we go. Higher education with Billy Football, we're giving you tips about going to college this fall. What do you got?
Hey, Billy. Is it a good move to pick up chicks by posing as a nude model in a group painting session?
Ooh. First of all, is this kid just living like a sitcom life? Does he think college is just one long
episode of Seinfeld? I think this was an episode. Was it Seinfeld that did nude modeling?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's a really good way to meet chicks because if there's one thing, you know what women really like is to look at a guy just like standing, being quiet with a flaccid penis.
Totally
flaccid.
That
is, yeah.
Or
that's fishing with dynamite.
Maybe you go and get aroused and then you can stand out. Both ways.
Wait, so it's a group modeling session. So, like, it's multiple people just standing there naked.
It sounds like an orgy.
Sure. Yes, that's a great way. Great way to meet people is at an orgy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Pete, when was the last time you were in college?
A long time ago.
Okay, so you can chime in anytime you want.
Great.
All right. What are your thoughts on the art orgy that we got going on here?
I would, between flaccid and erection, I would go with erection and see where it gets you.
Okay, there we go. Now you know at least how to approach it.
He did comment he's pretty average down.
Oh thanks. Cool. We really needed that.
Thanks for tossing that one in.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Jack.
Define average.
I don't know.
Three and a half.
Wow, yes. that's huge.
I'm average,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, definitely go there.
Totally right there.
Okay. Hey, PMT and Billy Football. My roommate for next year bought 2 pet rats for our house next year.
Ooh.
How do you suggest I handle having 2 large rodents scurrying around my house for the next 10 months? Thanks,
John.
By
a snake.
Turn it into you remember that movie with Pauly Shore, Biodome?
Mm-hmm.
Just turn the house into your Biodome. What do rats eat? Like, buy a bunch of cheese and
house. I'm saying just jump up on the
food chain.
Yeah, food chain for them. Just buy a snake and then.
And then it's on them.
He can buy another human.
Or it's on them to buy like a hawk.
Yeah. And then you buy a human and the human kills the hawk.
And then you buy another human and then that human kills the other human.
Right. There's a little war going on in there. Next up. Hey. The real answer, by the way, is find a new roommate. Rats, ferrets, rats, snakes, iguanas, those people aren't right in the head. Steer clear.
Turtles are okay
because they live forever. You just put them in the closet.
Exactly, and you can't lose a turtle.
Right.
Wait, let's back up. You buy a turtle and then you just put it in a closet and that's your pet.
Yeah, he just lives there.
That's a good pet.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, what's my play for a fake ID? Wait and see if I make friends who have one or drop the money now?
Drop the money now because then you become the guy who has all the friends.
Yeah, a little tip. If you have an older sibling, if they, like, lost or you stole or hypothetically you accidentally took their ID out of their wallet and then it somehow landed in yours, you fell down, you tripped, and it landed in your wallet, that's probably the best move.
Yes. But seriously, if you were the guy with the idea freshman year, everyone's like, wow, this guy is cool. And then you're also the first one to get arrested by campus police, so you get even more street cred.
Actually, the real answer is just like go to church more and stop drinking.
Yeah. Oh, Billy, you nodded on that one. Agreed with that.
I'm a big church fan.
Okay. No more drinking.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, Billy Football. I heard the episode about the trip chamber and was inspired. How do I break it to my roommates that I want to turn the dorm into a psychedelic tripped out pack? Need trip chamber essentials.
We got some it's a copycat league. Mm-hmm. So if people remember a few weeks ago, someone wrote into Billy asking what he should do because his roommate contacted him and asked if it was okay if they called their room the trip chamber and just dropped a bunch of acid. I don't think we need to copycat. I think it has to come naturally.
The trip chamber needs to exist on its own, and the beauty about rooming with the guy that's starting the trip chamber is that guy's going to fail out of school within 2 months, mm-hmm. and then you get a solo room that's actually like a double-sized thing. So you don't want to get down this trip chamber road. You want to let the other guy be the trip chamber.
Pete, ever just think about dropping some acid and pretending you don't have two kids?
Yeah, every day.
Okay. Next up, Billy.
Last one.
Yeah, last okay. one.
So this is a big one. Hey, Billy.
We're talking the mic if it's a big one.
Yeah. Hey, Billy. When I head off to college this fall, should I rush a fraternity?
Ooh, okay,
no.
Good question.
No, we're going to embrace debate on yeah. this one. I was never in a fraternity
yeah,
because
you weren't.
I played rugby. Not yep. to brag, it's totally different from
totally
a frat.
Different.
You actually, like, you have friends.
Pay
and
money.
You, well, you know,
you
it's,
sing songs.
But no, it's
you
not
drink beer
you,
together.
No, it's not. You
totally
don't.
Different.
You don't pay money. It's dues, and so like it goes. Mm. To the, it goes to like your place to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like way different. And yeah, you sing songs, but they're you know they're for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's to like help hang out with your friends.
Yep.
And have a good time.
So, if we're gonna answer real here, it depends on where you go to school. Because I went to a big school. I mean, there's, you know, it's hard at a big school the first day when there's thousands and thousands of people.
Oh,
yes.
Are you a little homesick?
No, I joined a fraternity. Homesick. I was in a fraternity for a year. What I found was you join it, you meet a couple people that you actually like. Then when the dues come around and they're like, hey, you have to pay $500 this month for all the parties, and there was like three parties, then you say, whoops, I'm not in the fraternity anymore. And I still have the friends that I liked from the fraternity, and I was only in it for a year, and I was out. That's the way to, it's a little life hack. A little life hack for you.
One time I saw this, I saw a guy getting accepted in a fraternity, what do they call it, like a bid?
Mm-hmm.
The guy got a bid, and the frat drove up on him in a Jeep just on the sidewalk. And they parked in front of him, and they started chanting, like, will you join? Will you join?
Is this old school?
Will you join? No, and the guy just looks at him and goes, I don't know. I'm going to be kind of busy this fall.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of had to, like, get back into their Wrangler quietly and just drive away, like, damn it. Lost another one.
Seriously, though, the answer is do, like, I'm going to be actually earnest here and not joking around. Do whatever you think is best for yourself. I know that's crazy. People get upset about fraternities. They get fraternity people get upset about non-fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, maybe you should just do whatever makes you happy without fucking with anyone else.
That's a really snowflake answer, though.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah,
I guess I'm a snowflake.
Everyone's an individual. Some people like frats. Some people don't.
It is. It always makes me laugh when people just, you know, are like, oh, every asshole, every person in a frat's a douchebag, and every person who's not in a frat is a loser.
Mm-hmm. Just spend more time in the library.
Yeah, do that.
That.
And church. And no drinking, Billy.
That's right. The only letters you need are A's and B's.
Yeah.
Just play sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or you can do that.
Wow. Not everyone can walk, Billy.
I didn't think about that.
You need to, we need to work on being more inclusive, Billy.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, man.
Let's include everybody. So start
God.
A frat and then determine who can and can't be your friend.
Right. And definitely, yeah, make sure they all can walk. All right, that's our show. We will see you on Monday for JJ Watt. Very excited.
It's going to be big. Monday, Wednesday, and... You know, maybe we'll toss a little JJ in on Friday, too. Who
yeah.
knows?
Yeah.
Maybe during the takeies.
So look out for that commercial. We'll post it on Twitter as well. Check it out at Part of My Take or the blog. Download the Barstool Sports app, and we will see you on Monday.
Love you guys.
For your love, okay. Take on.